Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live on this Monday afternoon. Thanks for being. It feels like a Monday night. I said Monday afternoon, but it feels like midnight Monday because of the time change. I'm all confused. We got a great hour for you. Dr. Ray Guarendi has a new book out, but there's some technical issues involved with that. But it's new this year. Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage. But here's my technical issue with it. Every time Dr. Ray comes on, he says, the only reason you have me on is because I have a new book out. But we already had him on for this book. We talked about this book, Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage, before. So I feel like technically we're having him on without a new book out. I just want to get that out of the way. Do I seem defensive? I apologize if I seem defensive already. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you for being here with us.
You're not insecure, are you?
man, come on! You can start right in on me. Come on, man.
You know what we can do? We can talk about something else. We go in another direction here.
No, I don't want to. I love talking about marriage. I love talking about simple steps to a stronger marriage. I just want to get credit for the fact that you didn't have to write an entirely new book to come back on the show. I do. Yes,
well,
I do feel insecure about that.
You spoke a bit too soon, my friend.
What?
Within another month, I've got another book coming out, so I'll be in contact with you.
Okay. Well, that's good. We'd be happy to have you on. It's coming out right before Christmas. Is it the very special Ray Guarendi Christmas book?
Well, I held that one off.
Okay.
I mean, Arroyo's doing his Christmas gig right now.
Oh, I forgot. He's got a Christmas album out, right?
Yeah. I didn't want to piggyback on that. I do karaoke, but, you know, he does a Christmas album.
Yeah. No. Now, you know what, though? Look, 888-318-7884 is the number. You want some help with your marriage? You want some simple steps to a stronger marriage? Call that number. Talk with Dr. Ray. 888-318-7884. But before I go to any phones, I will say this, because now the topic has come up. Dr. Ray Guarendi is a singer. I have heard him sing. He's a singer. I don't even know if crooner would be too low a word for what he does. He's a singer.
Well, you know, when I was 18, I started playing in supper clubs. Played for about 10 years. Went through college with no loans because I made good money. And at that time, doing a lot of playing and singing. Yeah, so I finally kind of swung back around. The days of the jazz organ in supper clubs, Cy, are over. They're no longer. When's the last time you've gone to a supper club or a restaurant and you've seen a jazz organ? Maybe a piano bar here and there. But for the most part, those days are gone. But I still do some singing.
I'm so glad to hear it. Live music is... I don't know. There should be more of that. We don't have as much of it in the... I mean, you can't... I know there's places where you go to hear rock and roll music and all that. Fine, that's fine. But, like, to have live music in a dinner place or something like that, I miss that. You just don't see it that much anymore.
Technology is crowding out everything.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, that's true. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage. The thing that I love about this book is that it's practical. It is not a psychologist telling me how to get in touch with my feelings or meditate or something to help my marriage. These are practical steps. These actually make sense to me.
I had a guy interview me once, Cy, and he said, you know, I think this is the first marriage book a guy could relate to.
That's a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't... Yeah. Like one of the most basic things in this book is learning to say, or learning to have the habit of saying, I'm sorry.
Clients will come into my office, Cy. They'll be frustrated, be tearing their hair out. Why? Because this 6-year-old is driving them crazy. He is defiant. He's not listening. Everything can become a battle. And they're not enjoying parenthood at all. They think it's so complex. They want me to see the child for therapy. Now, I don't really see children much for therapy because they're not very good therapy cases at all. I see the parents. So I'll say to the parents, okay, given what you've told me, let me give you just a couple of simple steps. You do this if you can, and then you come back in 2 weeks and tell me what's going on. About half the time, 2 weeks later, they come back and say something like, I don't know who this kid is. This is a completely different child. He's more pleasant. He is more affectionate. We're not battling half as much. All you did was give us a couple of ideas to implement. I said, yeah, that's right. It's the cascade effect. A couple simple movements send ripples throughout the whole relationship. And that's kind of what happens in marriage. You don't have to be some communicatively sophisticated shrink to have some kind of decent marriage. You do some simple things that work with all humans. They don't even work with it, not just spouses, anybody. People ask me this and say, well, you know, could you translate these things into any relationship? Like, of course you could. This is just basic human consideration. You know, when you say you're sorry, I put that as a first step. A lot of people wouldn't think that's a simple step. They would think that's a very hard step.
Oh.
And the reason most people don't say I'm sorry, and I talk about this in the book, people will say to me, as a therapist, are you ever stumped for suggestions? And I'll say, in general, no. I've been doing this long enough that whatever anybody tells me, I've heard before, or at least some variant before.
Right.
They say, what's the hardest part of therapy then? Oh, that's very simple. The hardest part of therapy is convincing people to do it. And in the book, I spend 80% of the time trying to convince people to do these very simple steps because of the natural resistance to them. Look, if you say, I'm sorry, what's some resistances? Well, it'll be thrown back in my face. Well, I don't feel sorry. Well, I don't think I did anything wrong. Well, my spouse was more at fault than I am. Well, if I say I'm sorry, they're going to think that they didn't do anything wrong and that I'm taking all the blame. So those are the standard resistances to saying I'm sorry. And I had to try to knock down each one of them so that someone can say, at that point in time, that circumstances, what I did was wrong. That's all you're saying. You're not saying I'm a loser. You're not saying I'm a bad spouse. Right. You're not saying I'm a jerk. You're simply saying, for what I did, I'm sorry. Now, that's simple. The problem is, spouses will say to me, I don't think that my spouse apologizes. You know why? And I'll say, why is that? Because they feel superior. That's why. They think they're always right. They feel superior. They can't apologize. I said, no, you've got it upside down. When somebody can never apologize, it's not because they feel superior. It's because they're insecure. Yeah. What does I'm sorry mean? It means too much.
Yeah.
That's why they don't do it.
Yeah, so like if I say I'm sorry, that would confirm that I'm an unworthy person, or I'm not worthwhile.
Yeah,
it would confirm.
Or you're right, just like you always think you are, and I'm not going to say I'm sorry, because then you'll think I'm the one who's taken all the blame, and I don't deserve all the blame. It wasn't mostly my fault. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's an insecurity. Do you remember we were talking last time, and I'm sure you wrote all this down because I remember you did.
Well, I've viewed it several times.
Your wife told me, make sure he writes it down. I said, okay, I'll do my best. Do you remember something I called the personal apology percentage?
I want to say yes. I want to say yes, I remember that.
Excuse me, Your Honor, I can't recall.
I'm going to plead the fifth on this one.
I'm sorry, I don't remember that.
Wait, the personal apology percentage?
Yeah.
Okay, what's that?
That's how wrong you have to think you are before you say I'm sorry. What percentage of the problem is yours? Most people say it's got to be at least 50% in their mind. Now, keep in mind now that we tend to give ourselves less blame than we actually deserve. But let's just assume that we're accurate. Mm-hmm. Then most people would say, I have to be at least 50% wrong before I'll apologize. For a Christian, you should apologize for any percentage. Let's say that my wife has been nagging me about doing some chore, and I keep putting it off. And I told her, Si, I said, honey, if you want me to do something, just ask me once, real nice. You don't need to keep reminding me every 6 months. So, so given that, let's say that I think she's been nagging me. Finally, one day, I've just had enough. I fire back with some nasty retort. I call her a name. I say, you know, your parents raised some kind of diva who thinks everybody should do what she wants the day before she wants it. Now, that's wrong. But in my mind, I only did that because she'd been badgering me for so long. So I think the problem was 88% hers and 12% mine. Am I going to apologize for my 12%? Am I going to say I shouldn't have said that? I was wrong. That was nasty language. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Am I going to do that?
No.
Or am I going to say, well, you know what? No.
Yeah, you're going to justify it.
Yeah, she wouldn't lay off of me.
Right.
Right, exactly. So as a Christian, our personal apologies percentage should be very low.
This is another thing that I really like about your approach is that you don't let Christians off the hook with some kind of psychobabble. I don't mean to use the word psychobabble, but I don't have another word for what you do. I mean, for what psychologists do.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I admire this. Okay, we can say all the psychological words you want. We can have all the psychological discussion you want. You still have an obligation as a Christian to be a Christian.
Unfortunately, and I'll throw this in as kind of a side issue, Sly. The question, is it normal, is replacing in our culture, is it right?
Yeah.
More people are saying, is it normal? Rather than, is it good and right? Yeah, it's perfectly normal for a 3-year-old to throw a meltdown fit. That's typical. It's not good. Or a 14-year-old can get disrespectful if you let them. It's not right. The question is not, is it normal? Sin's normal. Is it good or right? And that's what's happening with us in a marriage. Okay, this is going to be a little bit of a unexpected scenario. I've had people storm out of my office. Surprise, surprise, huh? Not too many, fortunately, but I've had a few. Most recently, there were two. This is going to shock you. Can you wager a guess as to what might have been behind them storming out of the office?
No, I don't. Why would someone storm out on Dr. Ray Guarendi? I can't even know. Why did they do it?
Okay. One spouse came in and saw themselves as a very good Christian. They said the other spouse is not a good Christian. Matter of fact, the other spouse doesn't take religion anywhere near like he or she should. As we talk, it's a marriage scenario. I'll say, well, to the Christian, I'll say, you operate out of a different set of principles. Your principles are much higher because what you believe, as opposed to what your spouse believes, says that you need to be more tolerant, more forgiving, more serving, more charitable. They didn't want to hear that at all, Si. Not at all. Their view was, my spouse is the wrong one. Yeah. My spouse is the semi-pagan. What are you doing telling me I've got to change? Now, no matter how delicately I said that, and I did, I very, very, very delicately. It wasn't a confrontation at all. One lady crumpled up the check, threw it on my desk, and walked out.
Wow. So if you really want to tick off a Christian, tell them that they're supposed to be behaving like a Christian. is what you're telling. Perfect place to take a break. Dr. Rigorandi is our guest. The number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about simple steps to a stronger marriage. Maybe you have practical questions about how to make your marriage stronger. You are welcome to call 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Church Pop takes a fresh and fun look at the news shaping our world, featuring engaging, inspiring, and informative Catholic social media content. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com. And you can get Church Pop emailed directly to your inbox. Visit EWTN.com and click subscribe. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Ray Gorandi is our guest. If you've ever been exposed to Catholic media at all, you know who Dr. Ray Gorandi is. The doctor is in EWTN and lots of other things, including lots of wonderful books, including the book that came out this year. The first book to come out this year, he says he's got another one coming out in a month or so. Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage came out in May. And if you would like to hear some simple steps for you to have a stronger marriage, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Rita's in South Dakota listening on the Real Presence Radio Network. Rita, awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Dr.
Stronger
Ray.
Stronger marriage came out in May.
Oh, Rita's listening to the radio.
Simple.
Come on, Rita.
Have a stronger marriage.
Listen on the phone, Rita. Here she comes. Coming in.
Rita's in South Dakota listening.
Here she comes. Come on, Rita.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, Rita. We were all listening to you listening to the radio. We're glad you're here.
I turned it off.
Oh, I heard you turn it off. All right, go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
So I got married young, 21. I'm still married. We have a very good marriage. We have three kids and we have several grandchildren. But my husband's never been romantic. And he knows I want him to be. But it's just not him. So I find myself thinking back to all the relationships I had prior to him and how they were so romantic. And how do I get out of my own head? So I quit thinking about like I missed out on the right. Because if my husband knew, I thought that he would die. But he's not a jealous guy, and he's not weird.
If you took away your dissatisfaction with the fact that he's not real physically affectionate, if you took that away, how good would you describe your marriage?
Probably a 10.
Wow. Man, that's all.
Yeah, we do everything together.
Okay. And you've been married how long?
It'll be 40 years in December.
And you're still upsetting yourself over this.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like my thoughts, it's like I try to knock them out, you know, and then I feel bad because I feel almost like I'm being dishonoring him. And so then I beat myself up and I go to confession and then I start that scenario all over again.
Okay. Here's what you're doing with your thoughts. I'm going to speculate, but I think it's probably right on. If he really cared about me, if he really cared about what I wanted, he would at least try a little bit. The fact that he's not means that he's being kind of self-centered. He's not willing to even reach towards me a little bit. I don't deserve that because I'm a very good wife, and I'm very affectionate toward him, and I don't get anything in return, and that's just wrong because good marriages should have a lot of affection, and my marriage does not have a lot of affection. Okay, am I on target kind of so far?
No.
Oh. What? Oh, and I'm hanging up right now.
No, I think it's that I don't deserve it. It's more of...
Well, you're still personalizing it. You see what you're doing?
Yeah.
You're personalizing it. It's like, this is happening because I don't deserve it. Instead of saying, this is happening because for whatever the reason, this spouse of mine is not willing to sacrifice, quote unquote, who he is to do this for me. So really what you're saying exactly what I said in different words, because you're saying, I'm not worthy of his affection. See, you're personalizing it again. The fact of the matter is, it's him. He's the one who isn't affectionate. Now, you've been married 40 years, and part of the reason you're thinking about these other guys or whomever it was, because you know as well as I do, you have no idea what they would be like to live with. You're just creating an image in your head that, you know, well, they were real affectionate when we were dating or when I went out with them, and, you know, they would be affectionate in a marriage. You don't know that at all. They could be miserable to live with. So you tell yourself that reality. But the other thing is, it's been 40 years. And for you to continue to bother yourself about this after 40 years is only making you miserable. Now, Rita, I know there are listeners who would think, Dr. A, why are you telling her to get over it? He's the one with the problem. Well, that may be, but he didn't call. Rita called. And Rita's saying this greatly distresses her. So after 40 years, change your thinking about this, Rita. Say, this is the guy I'm married to. We have a great marriage, and there is this one factor in it that's missing. Okay, well, I'm not going to make myself miserable about this, constantly wishing it would be different. That's something you're going to have to do to change your thinking. And that means you got to repeat it to yourself.
Yeah. The other part that I think too is that he's an excellent father. He's a very devoted, very trustworthy husband. He'd never do anything. But I don't want to be married I don't want him to love me because of everything we have.
See what you're doing?
Together. Does that make sense?
I'm sure he has told you many times how much he loves you, right?
Well, but it's all about what we have and what we've accomplished together.
Well, that may be the life you've lived together, the children and the history and the shared ups and downs of your marriage. Yeah, all of that is what you've shared together. So that is part of your marriage. See, you're dramatically overinterpreting his lack of affection. You're finding some reason or motive for it, and probably, now again, I'm just speculating because I don't know your husband, but probably it's just some part of his personality that isn't there. He probably loves you desperately. You've described several wonderful qualities about him. But then you said, well, I want him to love me because I want him to have affection for me because that's really what love is. And I'm not sure that he loves me for the right reasons. I mean, that's what it sounded like you said. And that would certainly bother me if I believed it.
You're right.
I knew I was going to get you to say you're right if I talked on long enough.
There does come a point where it's inevitable. Rita, we're coming near the break, but I do want to thank you very much for the call. I hope that was helpful to you. The number here is 888-318-7884. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. We always like it when Dr. Ray is here, and it's a great privilege to have him. He's got a new book, Simple Steps to a stronger marriage. Maybe you'd like a stronger marriage. Maybe you'd like some simple steps that will help with that. You're welcome to call and ask Dr. Ray, 888-318-7884. What's the new book that's going to come out in a month before I have to go to the break? You said there's another book coming.
It's about disciplining teenagers.
Oh, just came
out. That's another one your wife told me to write for you.
Could you write one on disciplining people in their late 20s?
Raise the rent.
Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. We'd love it if you'd call 888-318-7884. If you'd like to hear about some simple steps to having a stronger marriage. Hey, the store-wide sale is still going on. Fall store-wide sale over at shop.catholic.com. Everything's on sale. 10 to 25% off. In some cases, even more than 25% off. Check it all out at shop.catholic.com before it goes away. Fall sale. Want to get right to the core of Christ's saving message? Want a roadmap for living the life Christ calls you to? It's time to look again at the Beatitudes. In his new book, Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness, Father Sebastian Walsh demonstrates compellingly how these eight declarations make up the foundation, the essence, and the final goal of Jesus' teaching. Heart of the Gospel illuminates the scriptural passages from which we get the Beatitudes, explains the significance of their wording, their order, and their timing in Jesus' ministry, and it draws out edifying parallels and connections with salvation history and the lives of the saints. Most importantly, Father Walsh offers wise counsel from his own work as a priest and teacher to help you live the Beatitudes in your own life. Order your copy of Heart of the Gospel today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Matt Swaim here. Tomorrow on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll get more thoughts on personal prayer from Father Boniface Hicks, plus news, weather, sports, and more. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest this hour. You should find his book, Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage. Why did they have to alliterate that title? I'm not good at alliteration.
They always do that. They make it rolls off the tongue a little better when you do that kind of alliteration. You know what else? It's called consonants. Jimmy Akin would know stuff like that. Jimmy Akin's an encyclopedia.
Yes.
He knows everything about everything.
He does know an awful lot of stuff, although he will admit he does not know a lot about sports ball. He doesn't even know to just call it sports. He calls it sports ball. So other than that, he knows about everything. Hey, the number's 888-318-7884. If you'd like some simple steps for your marriage, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Bob's in West Texas, the best part of Texas. Bob, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
Yes, good evening. Thank you very much for taking my call. I got to tell you, this format is beautiful, having a double shot of Ray, the rays of sunshine, that's what I call it. I wanted to ask about the phrase, I'm sorry, which seems to be the hardest thing to say and yet the easiest and most beneficial thing to say. when your spouse or significant other says, well, if you really were sorry, we wouldn't be talking about this now, would we?
You know, Bob, I draw
what do I do?
Analogy.
What does one do?
Well, here's the analogy I draw. Does your spouse go to confession?
No.
Okay. Well, here's an analogy I use. Maybe you can use it for yourself. You go to confession, been gone to confession for 20, 30, 40 years. By and large, you say the same sins. How would you like it if a priest said, you know, if you were truly sorry, you would stop doing this. I'm not going to give you absolution. So
that's a good point.
The mistake of reasoning when somebody says that, if you were truly sorry, you'd change your behavior. Okay, that's, first of all, it's flawed reasoning. Because you could say, and better say it gently, Bob, or she'll kill you. You could say in a gentle way, well, don't you have habits that you wish you could change, and you truly regret them, but you still do them, not because you're not sorry. It's because they're either habits, or you're weak about them, or some factor in our personalities makes them durable. And we can regret every time we do them, truly regret, sincere sorrow. But yet, we do it again. We all do that. Maybe you could gently point out to your wife, honey, you know, you argue with our daughter. Do you like when you argue with our daughter? No, I always hate it. But you still do it, right? Not because you're not sorry, but because it's a pattern. And we all have those. And I got bad patterns here, and I'm sorry for them. I would say to her, I'd say, judge my sorry by whether I'm improving, not by whether I've totally conquered it.
That's good. Okay.
That works for you?
Yeah, that
now,
definitely
Bob,
applies. That definitely applies to my life.
I just have one question for you. Marty Robbins out in the West Texas town of El Paso. Do you know it?
Yeah, I've heard it many times in the past, not recently, so please don't ask me to quote it.
He was going to ask you to sing it.
I know all the words to it.
Bob, thank you. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate the call. The number is 888-318-7884. From West Texas to Alabama, Kim's in Alabama, listening on 90.1 FM. Kim, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Yes, my husband and I have been married for 23 years, and he became sick. He became a total care patient about 2 years ago, and he became physically and verbally abusive to me, and I had to get somebody to come in to help care for him, and he's nice to them, so I know it's not a medical condition. So I'm just wondering, is it wrong for me to want to leave and be happy? Because it's been going on for about 2 years.
Kim, that's a tough one. I can't tell you what to do. However, my guess would be that because you've had a history with your husband of 21 years, he's probably got stuff he doesn't like, and he takes it out on you. He's probably bitter at the world for his illness. Is that safe to say?
Yes, I guess so.
So you're the target. Anybody who comes in to help him, he's on his best behavior.
Right.
If you leave, what would you have to live with regarding your marriage and your moral commitment? Would you be devastated because you didn't keep your commitment? Would you be racked with guilt? How would you adjust that in your own conscience?
Well, my thing was I was going to make he gets enough income to pay for a lot of care, and I was going to make sure that he had care from people that he could trust. And I already have people in place for that.
You said something pretty significant. You said something pretty significant. You said he's physically abusive. Now, the church would never say you have to keep yourself in a situation where it's dangerous. You wouldn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You could have what they call separation of bed and board, which means for your own personal safety, you're not going to put yourself at risk. So I would get a guidance.
Right.
I'd get some guidance from a priest. But I think a lot of it would depend upon what you mean by physically abusive. If he's striking you, if he's hurting you, if he's attacking you, if he's unpredictable, then those are reasons to consider getting yourself out of there. I can't tell you because I don't know all the details, but you might want to run it by a trusted priest.
Okay.
All righty, my dear.
Kim.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Kim, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. That is a tough one, isn't it?
One of my simple steps, Cy, is dump the D word. Now, what I mean by that is this. In marriages that are spinning downhill, the D word, divorce, is the big club. Well, you know, maybe we should just decide to go our separate ways. Well, I'll tell you what, if some things don't change about here, I have other options. So you enter the option of divorce into the marriage. Once you do that, now you've opened the door. In Kim's case, obviously, if there's physical abuse, that you got a problem there. But most marriages, I'd say in my experience as a clinician, about 80% of them, and not because of pathology, not because of abuse, not because of pornography, not because of adulterous relationships, they end because, you know, I just really don't like you at all anymore. Mm-hmm. That's really why most of them end. A buildup of resentments and hurts and struggles and clashes and friction and disagreements. And so that's why they end. And if you are trying to sustain a marriage, the one thing you don't want to do is to introduce the D word, because that has all kinds of ramifications. You know, Cy, people will ask me, what do you do when somebody comes in your office and wants to leave their wife and kids and they don't have any religion? There's nothing to stop them morally from doing this. What do you do? One of the approaches I take is that I walk them through the potential complications of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I might say, you got kids? 15, 11, and 6. Does your 15-year-old, what does she think about this? Oh, she doesn't even want to talk to me. She doesn't even want to talk to me. She thinks I'm breaking up the family. Oh, so that if you leave, your 15-year-old probably won't want to be with you or see you. It's already headed that way. The girl that you're seeing, does she have a kid? Oh, she's got two. Well, how are they? Oh, they're obnoxious little brats. Well, do you try to discipline them? Oh, no, she won't let me. I see. So in other words, what I do is I kind of walk them through all these complications they're not thinking of at all. And it at least sheds a little bit of light on maybe your best move is to stay in the marriage and try to work this out, because you don't know what you're jumping into. And most people, by the way, find that out too late.
Well, let me ask you this. If a marriage, Kim is in a very particular situation and a situation of abuse and all that. So not referring to what Kim was involved in or is dealing with, but just the marriage gets 21, 22, 25, 30 years. And like you said, those resentments and dissatisfactions have built up, and the person just feels like, I don't like you anymore. Is there hope for that marriage, or has it gone too far after 30 years and you've ruined it?
There is hope if the person wants to change themselves and doesn't worry so much about changing their partner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that sounds odd, because we all tend to look at the other person as if only they would change, I would be happier and I'd be in a better frame of mind. That's true. However, you can only change yourself. Now, the one thing about that, that's the good news, very few people will not respond to a better you.
Mm-hmm.
A kinder you, a more soft-spoken you, a more forgiving you, a more affectionate you. Whatever it is that you can do to improve your own persona, most people, I mean, unless you're living with Satan or Satan's sister, which a lot of people come into my office and think they are, they will respond. Now, they may not respond at the level you want them to, but they may respond enough. I'll draw a parallel. Parent will come in my office and say, the school says my son's ADHD. What do you think? Well, I don't really know. Okay, what's he do? Well, he does A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. All right. Let's do this, 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 and this, and let's work on this, 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 and this, and let's see what happens. So after a few sessions, they come in and they say, boy, I'll tell you, things are a lot better. Do you still think he's ADHD? He's distractible, but not anywhere near as bad as he was. So he's improved. Yeah. Why did he improve? Well, because I changed my parenting. Right.
Yeah.
Same thing in a marriage. You know, if I don't like a lot of what my spouse is like and my spouse accuses me of all kinds of things, and I start trying to change a little bit of who I am, most of the time people are going to respond somewhat. And that's what I tell them. Yeah, there's always hope if you're willing to change.
So does that mean if somebody comes to you and says, look, I said to my husband or I said to my wife, I want to do marriage counseling, but they won't come. You could still help the marriage with one person.
Yes, I do a lot of that.
You do?
Yes, I do a lot of that. They'll come in, and of course, I can't know what's going on in that home because I'm only hearing one person's perception.
Right.
However, my goal is to help that person not be so frustrated. Our earlier call with, I think it was Rita. Remember Rita was talking about her husband not being affectionate.
Right.
And she was clearly very distressed about this. And in being distressed, she started fantasizing about old boyfriends.
Right.
Well, if I can get Rita to alter her thinking about how she's interpreting her husband's behavior, because she told you the misinterpretation. She said, well, apparently I must not deserve his affection. In other words, she's taking it personal, okay, rather than saying this is his issue, not mine.
Right.
So if she could ease that off, then she wouldn't be quite so frustrated with him, and maybe that part of the marriage will get better. You know, the other thing you throw into this, and this is, again, this is not therapy, so I can't explore it, but I would in therapy. I would say, I'd ask her, how much has this been an issue in your marriage? And she said, well, it would come up a lot. It comes up a lot. And I'll say, do you think that maybe your husband is reacting? In other words, he's being a bit stubborn about this because he doesn't like being told what to do. Now, sometimes people say that's exactly it. So in other words, you're not letting this issue die is making it worse.
Hmm.
See, but that's the kind of stuff you can explore in therapy. You can't explore it on a phone call.
Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage is the new book from Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest. You are welcome to call. I'll tell you right now, the lines are open. So you are in good shape, but you better dial soon because we're about to be at the end of the hour. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Right back with more with Dr. Ray Guarendi on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
888-318-7884, the number. Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest. It's awful nice to have him here. You can listen to Dr. Ray Guarendi on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. You can see him on EWTN Television. You can read his books, or you can call right here and talk with him, 888-318-7884. In the new book, Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage, you do get to something that a friend of mine would like me to ask you about, why affection sometimes goes down over the course of a marriage. It's not me asking. This is for a friend of mine.
Let's test your physics knowledge, Cy.
Okay.
Do you remember what in physics is called the law of entropy?
Oh, yeah. Things tend towards the lowest state of something.
That's right.
Yeah.
Decay. That's
decay.
Right.
All right.
There is something called the law of social entropy. It afflicts marriages because what happens is we get sloppy. I don't give you as many compliments as I used to our first year of marriage. I don't hug you goodbye like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I'm hostile. I'm just getting kind of lazy, kind of apathetic. You know, we've been together a long time. That's what I tell my clients, or that's what I tell people. I say, look, do not let the law of social entropy enter your marriage, because that's the path of least resistance. It's like lifting weights. You walk into a weight room, you're not going to pick up the 100-pound dumbbells for your bench press as soon as you walk in. You got to work your way up to it. Same thing in a marriage. You got to work your way up to giving more compliments, using your manners better, saying I'm sorry quicker, listening a little bit longer, being more affectionate. These are all things you should increase if you want your marriage to work.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, what happens is we get sloppy, we get lazy, and the law of social entropy kicks in.
All right, I'll tell my friend what you said. 888-318-7884. Kim's in Cleveland, Ohio, probably listening on AM 1260, The Rock. We're glad you're here, Kim. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I was just calling to ask, what do you do when you and your spouse differ about child rearing? Like, we're not like complete opposites, but he's very much more conservative, and I'm a little bit more of, you know, if the kid falls off the couch when he's climbing on it, he'll learn not to do it again, you know, and my husband doesn't want him to climb on the couch in the first place, you know, and that's a minor incident, but you know,
I'll give you a simple rule to follow, Kim. It worked very well for us raising our 10 children. The parent with the discipline rules. In other words, if dad doesn't want him climbing on the couch, then that's right. You don't step in and say, well, when he falls off, he's going to hurt himself. I don't see why he can't. Because all you do is you complicate the situation. My wife would send the boys away from the table for burping the alphabet. Now, I think that burping the alphabet is a great manly talent. Well, but she didn't want him to do it. Okay, so her discipline rules. If I come home and I want to take one of them somewhere with me and she says, no, he gave me a bad time today, he's gone to bed early, her discipline rules. So I think a simple rule for your marriage and for the kids, This will help the kids here, Kim. If whichever parent has the stricter rule, rules. Now, people say, "Oh, Dr. Ray, that'll just make everything be dictatorial." No, it won't, Kim. Because I'll tell you what: even though your husband is probably stricter than you are, he's probably not over strict. Most parents are not over strict at all. All right. The problem comes in is if he yells too much, if he nags too much, if he threatens too much, if he gets frustrated too much. Tell him that's not discipline. You'll back up his discipline, but it's hard when he's just yelling for discipline.
So if, you know, like if I'm currently watching our son and he's climbing on the couch, but my husband walks in and says, no, get down, even though I was already letting him, is that what you're saying is he should do that and I should just go with that? I'm not going to argue with him, but
Yeah. Say that while you were there, you didn't mind him climbing on the couch. Dad's there. Dad minds him climbing on the couch. Okay. So dad doesn't want it. That's the way it is. Sure. Same thing with you. If you want them to pick up their stuff and dad doesn't notice it and he doesn't care, but you say, I need you to pick this up, then you rule. That's a very simple thing to do.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you very, very much. I feel bad that your sons probably didn't fully develop the ability to burp the alphabet. I feel
Well, we did it when my wife wasn't home.
Oh, that's good.
Just around the table.
Yeah.
And my one son got all the way to M before he had to take a breath.
Boys need their skills. They need to develop their skills. Joseph's in Nebraska. Joseph, go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is, I want to know how I can do better as a husband who's not sharing, not being vulnerable. And I'm not being vulnerable because when I was vulnerable, then that information would be used. I'm going to call it as an emotional 2x4. So when she wanted something, then she would whack me with the emotional 2x4. And I got tired of that. So I stopped sharing, but I'm not sharing and that's not helping the relationship. So how do I do better at what I'm doing?
Well, when you say vulnerable, I'm not sure you mean vulnerable to what, but for the interest of time, I'm just going to throw some ideas out at you. If you weren't worried so much about getting emotionally afflicted by her, then you'll tell her anyway, because your attitude will be, well, I know that when I tell her these things, she could misuse it, but it's better to tell her and not get myself so upset when she misuses it. Because right now you're too afraid of her misusing it, so you just shut up, as opposed to saying, all right, well, I'm going to tell her. And then if, in fact, she uses the emotional 2x4, I'm not going to totally distress myself over this. To the degree that you're kind of invulnerable to her manipulation or whatever it is you say she throws back at you, you'll be able to tell her because you won't fear the repercussions.
Okay.
In other words, I don't want her to do that, so I'll just shut my mouth. Well, okay, but is that making it worse? So if you
doesn't
if you
seem
do
to be making
her,
it better.
I'm sorry, run that by me again, Joseph.
It doesn't seem to make it better, and so that's what I'm trying to rethink things.
Right. She's getting on you because she says you don't tell her stuff or you don't share stuff with
right.
her or whatever.
Right.
You're saying, I'm protecting myself. I tell you stuff.
Right.
You use it against me. Well, okay, but if you're not as bothered or upset or distressed by her using it that way, if you tell yourself, I know that's what she does, it doesn't surprise me. She's done it before 264 times. She'll probably do it 265 times. Okay, I'm going to make a decision here. It's less bad if I tell her things and then take the blowback than if I just retreat and shut down, because then that really brings out the upset in her.
Okay. I'll give it a try.
Good luck, man.
You never heard somebody sound so distraught to have something to try in their marriage.
You know, people think that life is a bunch of decisions between good and bad. No, much of the time, life is a bunch of decisions between bad and less bad.
Yeah, maybe it's movies and television has given us this kind of immature fairy tale idea that there's supposed to be an easy answer, but there's just not. A lot of times there's just not an easy answer. That's why you need simple steps to a stronger marriage. And they're understandable. They're relatable. They're things that you can do if you choose to. I mean, you have to have the will, the desire to do them, but you can do to make your marriage better. That's why I like this book, Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage, Dr. Ray Guarendi, out just this year. Dr. Ray, it's always a great pleasure. Thank you very much for doing the hour with us.
Hi. Always glad. Hope to see you soon.
Well, you got a book coming out soon, so we got to have you on.
I'll tell you what, your wife keeps telling me to write it for you.
Stop listening to her. All right, that does it for us. Huge open forum tomorrow. It's Jimmy and Tim, right? Well, that's a big deal. Two big heavyweights here tomorrow. We'll see you then, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.